Hello, I'm Robert Falkins, Assistant Commissioner of the Indiana High School Athletic Association. And to my right is Patty McCormick, the Athletic Director at Lowell High School, RDP, baby. Thanks for driving down, Patty.
Happy to be here.
This is our inaugural podcast where we're going to talk to some Indiana legends in coaching, athletics, administration, around the sport arena. Our first guest is Dick Dullahan, eight-time state champion football coach, a football player at Cathedral High School, later went on to play collegiately at Butler, and then, of course, had some coaching success in the collegiate and high school ranks, and even at some times did some work at the professional level. Welcome, Coach Dullahan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here and be a part of this. It sounds like it's going to be fun.
It certainly ought to be. And we just want to have a conversation. We want to talk to you. We know you're a good conversationalist. You've been commentating and playing and coaching in high school sports for many, many years. And one of the first things we want to ask you is you heard me give your introduction, and you've been at the collegiate level, you've been at the high school level, you've worked with professional athletes. To your mind, which of the three has been the most rewarding in your experience?
Well, I believe that obviously I think that being a part of the coaching profession has been an extremely rewarding thing for me. Playing was obviously great, and you play as long as you can, and you don't quit until you know that's the time to do that. And for example, I was playing baseball and football at Butler, and I went to Coach Hinkle after about 2 months of my second season on the baseball team, and I said, Coach Hinkle, I said, I think I'm a liability at the plate. I said, I can do the other stuff, but I can't hit the curveball, and I think it's time for me to hang up my glove and my bats and just specialize in football. And he said, well, son, I think that's not a bad idea. And that I think, you know, you play as long as you can, and you love it while you're playing it, and you learn a lot, and you have fun. But there's a time when that's over. But in coaching, I mean, I had so much fun playing sports all the way up, and I just enjoyed the concept of being a coach and having played for Coach Hinkle and Joe Deslin at Cathedral. And Tom O'Brien was a fantastic baseball coach for me at the high school level. And I'll never forget it. He put me in as a starting third baseman after an older player made five errors in one day. And he said, Dullahan, get in there. And I went in. I was a sophomore, and I was playing third base. And I'll never forget it. I was 0 for 17, my first 17 at bats. But I was fielding the ball, and I was doing okay. And I'll never forget it because I just got grounded out to second base for my 17th put out of the season. And I was lower than whale doo-doo under the ocean. And I was just mad and upset and torn up about it. And he put his arm around me. And Tom O'Brien was a tremendous guy. And he's still alive. And he was a substitute teacher until recently at Cathedral High School. And Tom put his arm around me and he said, little man, he said, you're going to be okay. He said, don't worry about it. He said, the hits will come and you're going to be fine. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And I never forgot it. And it made a big difference in my life, and it affected the way I coached players later on.
Coach, that leads to my next question. What's the difference between coaching the high school kid who's 14, 15 years old and the collegiate kid who's, you know, could be these days 25, 26, and then the professional athlete who's getting paid for the vocation?
Well, as you know, nowadays, even the collegiate athletes getting paid. So it's changed drastically. What's the difference? Well, first of all, I love coaching high school athletes because they're young, they're more impressionable, they're not always, you know, cocky and thinking about themselves only. And sometimes, you know, their next contract is really important to them. And you don't really get that when you step up and coach collegiately. It's tough. It's tough. And you the hours are unbelievable. And being a family man, I came back to high school after 4 years in collegiately. And I came back because it was much better and much more fun dealing with the high school athlete. And you could impact their lives. And I thought that was a goal because many of the coaches that I played for impacted my life and rubbed off on me, so to speak. And I really believe that, yes, collegiate coaches do impact lives. But I don't believe it's the same as it is at the high school level.
Which leads us perfectly into my question for you, Coach. What is it that you feel makes high school sports so special?
Well, first of all, it's most definitely education-based. And you're trying to help young people to become making men out of boys and making young ladies out of girls. And you're trying to get them to make positive decisions about their future. And you're trying to improve their self-image because that's probably our most important job because your confidence level plays a huge part in your success, not only in school, but in later life. And the impact that high school sports and high school education has on young people, I feel strongly about great teachers. You remember the best teacher you ever had. You remember the best coach you ever played for. And you do remember them because they made an impact on your life. And I think sometimes we don't talk enough about what high school sports can do for young people that I don't know whether you can get it anywhere else.
You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas were always my favorite times as a coach because your kids would come back. You can see them grow up as they are off at college or in their vocation, and you just get to see that process. And, you know, you always want to make sure that you've instilled in them something they're going to carry with them out the door. That's going to stick with them. What was that thing, that one thing that you wanted to stick with your kids that played for you?
The thing that we always talked about is winning is a byproduct of doing things right. And winning high school football and high school sport games teaches you life lessons, and you know how to go about winning in the game of life because you're faced with so many decisions so often. And there's so many situations that all of us who played, we can recall things that we learned. You learn from really good coaches and you learn how not to coach or how not to act or how not to be if you happen to have a coach that is not impressing you or not handling a situation the way you really know that it should have been handled. So some coaches, they teach you how not to coach, and some coaches teach you how to coach. And there's no question that you learn from both. And high school sports, I think, sets the tone. The discipline that it takes, particularly nowadays, with the tremendous involvement year-round in so many sports. I used to say to the kids, play as many sports as you can for as long as you can. If anybody tries to talk you out of it, just say no. It's what you become because you did it. You really don't sometimes realize that it's happening to you as an athlete or as a student. But I can remember situations and things that I learned even from my high school teachers. I think, and I never forget them, and I tell stories about them whenever you see other people that maybe either graduated with you or stuff. You're constantly learning. If your brain and your ego's not too big, you got to have a small ego that is humble, because then you can learn more. If you're always thinking about what you're going to say next, you know, it's really hard for you to grasp what's being taught to you. And the best coaches I ever had were guys who were smart enough to be quiet at times and listen. And I learned so much. I always said, I never had a bad boss. I was a teacher and a coach, of course, but I worked at Chittard High School. I had great bosses there. I had Joe Harmon, member of the Four Horsemen. He was a lineman on the Notre Dame team when the Four Horsemen were around. Joe Harmon was our athletic director. He was an unbelievably great man. I loved him. Father Jim Higgins was our principal. I mean, I had so many good bosses that taught me. Carol Perica was our head coach, and he taught me so much about how to handle kids and how to motivate kids and how to come down to their level and how to care about them. So I learned so much. And then, of course, when I went to Carmel, I had Dale Graham as my administrator. I had Bill Shepard as the athletic director. I had Eric Clark, who was basketball coach. It was fantastic, the things I learned from these people. They touch your life, and they make a huge difference. And then, of course, when I went to Ben Davis, I had Dr. Jim Mifflin, and I had the athletic director, Bob Britt, and, of course, Chris Dillo, who was, Chris was terrific as well. And we just learned so much from those people that all the years I was in high school athletics, I never had a bad boss. So my point is, you know, we as coaches and teachers, we have to realize what an impact we can have on these young people. It's not what you get for playing. It's what you become because you did it. The heroes of the games wind up being humble people that accepted coaching because they'd been coached in the proper manner.
Certainly.
So true.
Coach, you know, you mentioned how many different people worked with you to make you the elite coach that you were, but I want to harken back to the days at Ben Davis when even at Carmel, you had Mark Herman, you had Corey Harris, but you also had guys like Ben Garden, Chris Rickenbach, Jimmy Sims, guys who didn't go on the professional level. What was your tack in coaching kids who were certainly elite level athletes and those kids who were very good high school athletes and the guys who were just, they were on the team and they're going to contribute every day in practice. They're going to contribute in the weight room, but not fill up the stat sheets.
There's no question. You know, our job is to make men out of boys. And I really believe that it's an art. And some people have that art of being able to handle the people above them and being able to handle these young kids. And let's face it, the great athlete can do what you want him to do, and he does it more easily because he can do almost everything you ask him to do because he physically is gifted. And usually the best of those are the ones that are mentally smart enough and savvy enough that they literally see this coach cares about me. This coach wants me to be successful. I'm going to do what he says, and then they can do it. And the things we see when we see the elite athlete play on TV and so forth, hey, they're very, very gifted. There's no question. But then there's the others, like you mentioned, Ben Garden. And I think of David Aune at Ben Davis was the guy who literally, I think he's the one person who changed Ben Davis football as a player. That athlete that's not the most gifted, but he's so willing to do everything he can to make himself better. Players are made in the off season. Teams are made in the season. You give me a bunch of good players and it's a whole lot easier to make a good team out of them. And it's doubly beneficial if they happen to be really smart and really hardworking guys. And you mentioned Ben Garden was really smart, and he was not gifted, but he was fantastic, easy to coach, coachable person. Same way, Mark Herman was extremely gifted. He was humble, very humble. And Corey Harris was gifted, played three sports. I used to tell him, play as many sports as you can. And Corey played many sports as he could. He played basketball, he played football, and he played and he ran track. And he came back to us, and Kevin Vanderbush, as you know, was our strength coach at BD, and he was absolutely fantastic. He was such a tremendous influence on my program because, again, you got to let your coaches coach. You got to let them coach. And we turned over great deal of responsibility to Kevin Vanderbush, and it paid huge dividends. And he's been there for 40 years, and he's won like over 50 games and like, I don't know how many state championships, but it's over 20. I mean, the guy is fantastic. And, you know, what I believe is that coaching is teaching. Guys that can teach the best are the ones that care. Players don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You've heard that before, but it's absolutely true. When you show them that you care, they respond. And I had so many athletes at BD and at Carmel who played above their talent level because they bought into what you said as a coach and what you wanted them to accomplish as a coach. It was so fun. It was fun for me. And I think I tried to make it fun for the players.
Coach, if Commissioner Neidig came strolling in here and said, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to talk to the entire nation and tell parents what they absolutely should and should not do who have a high school athlete, what would you tell them?
I would say to the parents, because of the education that that young child, that your child will get by playing multiple sports and being involved in other things while you're in school, because of the lives that will touch his life in the coaching profession, in the education area, in the teachers themselves, his life will be touched by all these people. So encourage him to be multiple at all costs, because I remember vividly how much I learned when I started coaching wrestling, how I could get individually into that kid's head and into that kid's psychic and his confidence level. And I could watch his confidence grow because you put your arm around him and it's one-on-one. And it made me a better football coach. These parents must understand that encouragement to and not get in the way. Don't get in the way, mom and dad. Let the coaches handle your son or daughter. Let them handle him. And you'll be surprised at what comes out. Understand it. If you don't understand what you hear when your son comes home, I don't have a problem with you asking questions. My door was always open. But I used to tell him, now be careful because you might not hear what you think is the and you might think, you might not understand where I'm coming from in terms of I want to help your son to become a better man, a better person, make his life better for the future.
And we have so many of those parents who are coaching in our youth sports programs all the way corner to corner. And I guess the question that needs to be answered to many is, what is the one thing you want to instill in those little guys and those little girls coming up through the ranks of learning what sport is? What's the one thing you want to drive home every day with those little ones?
Number one, you can tell by the expression on their face if they're having fun. If they're fun, you better change the drill and make the drill more fun, because they play because they're having fun. And you got to say, that's not like you. I know you can do better. I've seen you do better. Now, when we get inside, we're going to show you a little video of how it's supposed to look. And once you see how it's supposed to look, I'll bet you can do it. I mean, we have to be positive with these young people. There's too many other ways and too many things that happen that are negative in this world. I mean, what do these kids see? The things that are going on in our world, it's kind of scary. But in their world, we got to make it fun, and we got to help them to find and conquer themselves, because sometimes they are their own worst enemy.
Coach, what advice — this was long ago for both of us — but what advice would you give a first year coach today?
Oh boy.
Well, loaded. I know it's loaded.
First of all, there's a lot of things and a lot of directions we could go in talking about this. But one of the first things is, don't think that you have all the answers. Be humble and listen. And you've got to, as a coach, I love my situation, because I coached three sports all the way until I got to Carmel. At Carmel, I specialized in one sport. But for the first 7 years, I was coaching football, wrestling, and then baseball. Now, I didn't really coach baseball for 7 years, but I always went and attended the baseball team's games and some of the basketball team's games and all the wrestling meets and stuff. And I coached wrestling for 7 years as the head coach, and I coached wrestling 4 years as an assistant. Play and coach as many sports as you can for as long as you can. As a first year coach, you've got to watch other people coach. A guy named John Maxwell, who was a great motivator and a great leadership motivator, John Maxwell said, people do what people see. You as a coach and a young coach, you got to go watch other coaches coach. You not only remember those that you played for, but you need to learn from those that are currently coaching. Watch them coach. Get close enough that you can hear what they're saying. Get close enough to understand what they are trying to get across and how they're getting across the information. I once heard a coach say this. He said, you know, if they're not getting and not performing the way you want them to perform, say it a different way so that he can get it. He's not getting it where you're saying it. So do it. Say it differently, or phrase it differently, or create a situation where he can see what's actually going on and what really is true. It's so very important that the the coach cares about his players and he cares about their development, and they got to understand that he cares and see that he cares by the little things that he does or the little things he says after their repetition or their practice habit that they did, or even situations where they, what they did in a game, how you refer to that. Sometimes I would turn the projector off on the day after a big game, and I would say, now, did you guys see that last play? Did you see the way Jimmy Smith did this, that, and so on? That's it. That's what we're looking for. That's the perfection that we are chasing. There was a great quarterback who was a rookie in the NFL, and he had written on his locker up above his, where he was lockered in his first job in the pro ranks. And it said, chase perfection and you will achieve excellence. So sometimes you have to make a big point out of them doing exactly the way they've been coached. And at the same time, then that gives you a license to refer to other things that they do on the field that are wrong. If you praise and you reprimand with equal intensity and efficiency and confidence, they grow. They know what to expect. If I don't do this right, that guy's going to raise hell with me. I mean, teaching is you get back what you give out. And if you praise them, you get what my mother say, you get more with sugar than you do with doo-doo. Yeah, so it makes sense to me that that's the way we have to treat these young people. Now, we got to be tough and we got to be demanding, no question. We got to be demanding in terms of how they perform, but don't attack them if they don't do it exactly right. You didn't say it right. Get them going. Get them going again. Pick them up. Don't leave them alone.
Coach, do you see, and you know, no one wants to hear about the good old days, right? But do you see opportunities, glaring opportunities for kids today to grow that we're not teaching, that maybe we used to teach a little bit better? Or what are we missing? Are we missing anything?
I'll tell you, I'm not a proponent of specialization. And I know in many of the sports, it's become a situation where if you don't specialize, you can't compete at the highest level. And I think that's a shame, because then it's away from the high school many, many times. And yes, are they getting good coaching? I trust that they are getting good coaching in some areas. And, you know, I'm not attacking people that are coaching youth sports that are not professional coaches. But, you know, it's really tough, I think, because as a high school coach, sometimes they come into you and they've already got so many preconceived ideas, it becomes tougher for you to sell them on what you want them to do and how they can go about getting better. And it is a tough business today. It's not as easy as it used to be. I mean, I mentioned how I played three sports and I quit the wrestling team in high school because I got really sick in the middle of my sophomore year. And I just had a sinus infection deal, and I only played football and baseball, but I should have been on the wrestling team, and I probably would have been a decent wrestler eventually. But I learned so much. You learn even when you lose, if your brain's on right, if you you learn when you lose. You open up your brain and you open up your eyes, and people do what people see, and you learn and you develop and you improve, and then you have more fun. It's all about getting to a spot where you feel good about yourself. Parents play.
Absolutely.
Parents play a big part in that, I'm telling you. And parents, they got to understand that the coaches really do have the best interest of the kid at heart. And it's not all about them. It's not all about winning. It's about player development. I often say, the greatest thing I did at Ben Davis when I went in there was I told them they needed to hire a strength coach. And then the Lord above sent me Kevin Vanderbush from Purdue University. I turned it over to him. It's you are responsible for the physical development of this football team. And I will help you. I'll be there. I'll help you. I'll motivate them. I'll talk to them. I'll discipline them. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But you're responsible for their development. And the essence of coaching is player development, particularly at the high school level.
Coach, you mentioned a couple of things, and I just, you know, we're talking about education-based athletics, and you talked about Kevin Vanderbush and turning over the physical conditioning of your players to him. But I want to talk about your role as a coach in the school building. And I particularly want you to tell us a little about your philosophy. I can remember vividly being on your staff and getting our kids, our football players, in their game jerseys and going to the spring play and sitting up front. And how impactful do you think that was on your players as well as the kids in the play?
There's no question because, you know, we didn't have very many guys that were football players and were in the play or in the choir, you know, the terrific choirs and that they had at Ben Davis and same thing at Carmel. I did the same thing at Carmel. I just felt like we as players, we got to support each other. And we as students, we got to support the other. The school deserves our support. So not more than once, I stopped our practice and sent the players over to the band field to applaud the band when they were practicing and putting together their show. We did the same thing. We'd encourage the kids to go and support the band competition down at the Hoosier Dome and stuff. We just felt like everybody needs to work together for the betterment of the whole school. And you can't be a fly in the ointment demanding only that they do your sport. And if you go to their sport, they'll encourage their kids to go to your sport and to attend your sport and to see what's going on out there and to understand it. I felt like I appreciated the people that had made my job available to me, and I appreciated the other coaches, and I wanted the other coaches to work with me. I wanted, if there was a conflict in terms of sharing athletes, I never wanted to put that player in the middle. Never. I wanted to meet directly with that coach and say, look, we got to work this out so that this player can play both sports. One time, back at Carmel, Mark Herman was the best baseball player. He was the best quarterback, and he was the best basketball player on the team. Okay. The baseball coach made a rule that if you went anywhere for spring break, even if it was with your family, you were going to suffer because you weren't going to start the first game of the baseball season when you got back. And you were going to, if in fact, he wasn't even going to let you play. don't you know Mark Herman quit baseball? And he was the best pitcher in the school. I'm telling you, we as coaches must learn. You got to share athletes. And it's not fair. How do you know that your sport is going to be the one that changes his life? Your sport could be the one. And if you run him out of another sport, maybe that was the one that changed his life. I really believe you can't be all about yourself. You got to be humble enough to realize that we're trying to make men out of boys. We're trying to make young ladies out of girls. And how we go about it is very important.
Patty, you have anything else you want to talk to Coach?
Listen, Coach, we can go on for hours. I mean, this is just, we can keep going. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today. And I can say this from the bottom of my heart, you get it. You understand and you lived it and you live it still on our purpose. And it's just great to hear someone who's had so much success reinforce what we believe so strongly in, and just can't thank you enough for your time today.
And well, Coach, as one of those people who was watching what you were doing, I certainly have appreciated what you've done. You've been a great role model for me and mentor at times. And I can just say what you did as a head coach at Chatard and Cathedral, at Carmel and Ben Davis will last long after most of us have left this mortal coil, so to speak. And for that, you are to be congratulated. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for your words of wisdom to us here today. And enjoy the good life there in the villages with your golf, with your family, and with your friends. And best of luck, and thank you again for doing this for us.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I thank you. I know I go off on tangents from time to time. I'm sorry, but that's who I am, and that's the way I think. And I love talking about high school sports, and I love talking about the success that I had in high school sports. And to be honest with you, I left college coaching because high school sports is where it's at. And it's sure. So much more fun, so much more rewarding. You mentioned at the very beginning, what was the most rewarding? Well, coaching was the most rewarding part of it. Playing and being a commentator for those state championship games, it was fun, but it wasn't as rewarding as being a high school coach.
Well, Coach, I appreciate all the time that you've given to high school sports here in the state of Indiana, and I'm sure the folks in the communities at Bishop Chatard and Carmel and Ben Davis are also very thankful of the time and your efforts and energies and improving the lives of everybody that you coach and everybody you came into contact with. Thank you again. And thank you for epitomizing. You're a Hall of Famer, not just in the state of Indiana. You're a National Hall of Famer for coaching football. And that speaks volumes about what it does and what you do and how you do it. And again, thank you for that.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, Robert. But, I should say, because I was thinking about this before when you asked me to be a part of this, the IHSAA, they get it. They're doing what needs to be done. And I agree with everything they do. I don't care what it is. I agree with it because they are, I'm serious. This is a great, great organization. And it is one that, they get it. They know that their job is to develop these young people and to create situations where they learn the state championship game in Lucas Oil Stadium. Oh my goodness. That is awesome. And I applaud the Indianapolis Colts for sponsoring that and for making that possible. It's a huge thing. And the IHSA, some people talk bad. I don't know how in the world you could talk bad about the IHSAA. I don't. you don't get it if you're talking bad about the IHSA. You guys are doing a heck of a job. And God bless you and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Coach.
Same to you, Coach.